This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Another night of Woodpeckers baseball, a thirsty Thursday in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. But for the Woodpeckers this week, it hasn't been much of home sweet home. They're looking for their first win against the Kannapolis Cannonballers, coming off a shutout defeat last night. A new day for baseball and the Woodpeckers trying to bounce back. It's game 3 of 6 between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Hello, everybody, and welcome inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth. I'm Andrew Chapman, joined by Colin Casey, and we are live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and the MILB First Pitch app for our radio broadcast tonight. And you can also watch tonight's game in HD video quality by subscribing to MILB.TV and Bally Live. Your MILB.TV subscription comes with an MLB.TV subscription as well. You can get both for the price of one. And we hope you can join us tonight. Thanks for being with us. It's game 3 of 6. Woodpeckers, Cannonballers, the single-A affiliates of the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox taking the diamond tonight. Colin, yesterday the Woodpeckers were shut out. They had 4 hits, only singles. That was the case on Tuesday as well. 3 hits in that loss, all singles. No extra base hits yet, but I think we saw contact yesterday for Fayetteville that is promising, some balls that died on the warning track, and it seems like eventually those hits are going to start falling. They need to start falling, though, with runners in scoring position especially.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just been a little bit of bad luck that's kind of plagued the Woodpeckers over this 3-game losing skid. Yeah, sure, there's been times where there weren't really competitive at-bats, but yesterday really wasn't the case. We saw a lot of hard contact. Tyler Whitaker in 4 at-bats, all 4 he stung the ball, ended up going 0-for-4, but putting the ball in play all 4 times. So sometimes that's just how it goes. This is a Woodpeckers team, too, compared to last year that hasn't struck out nearly as much as they did in 2022 at the plate as a whole. So you have to kind of take that as a positive sign going forward that your luck will even out. Hey, we saw when their luck was going well. That was against Fredericksburg when they won 5 of 6 and everything was going their way, putting up double-digit runs per night. So you wonder if maybe that luck will start to swing back in their direction tonight. Going up against a really talented pitching staff, though, this week in Kannapolis, have to give them a lot of credit to how strong they've been and silence the Woodpeckers' bats over the first 18 innings of this series.
Tyler Schweitzer, Shane Murphy have been fantastic as starters for Kannapolis. They've combined to go 11 scoreless innings as starters. The Woodpeckers and now have a tall task of taking on a reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week today. And Connor McCullough, he's coming off of 6 scoreless innings against Augusta, just 1 hit allowed, and he'll take on a right-hander in Tyler Guilfoyle, who's been very solid for the Woodpeckers this year. Guilfoyle with a 1.83 ERA coming into this start. Fayetteville at 12-16 overall. They currently sit in 5th place in the Carolina League South Division, 2 spots back of these Kannapolis Cannonballers, making it to 3 spots back of Kannapolis at 15-12. The Cannonballers 2 games behind the division's top team, the Columbia Fireflies, who are 18-11. They managed to win yesterday. It was a tied game late. Columbia wins, and so the Woodpeckers have dropped to 5.5 games out of first place entering tonight. In the North Division, the Downeast Wood Ducks carry a 2-game lead over Carolina. Delmarva 3 games back. Lynchburg, the 4th place team, and the bottom two are Salem and Fredericksburg. Again, first pitch in this one, 7.05 p.m. We have Connor McCullough, the right-hander, 1-2 with a 2.79 ERA against Fayetteville's very own Tyler Guilfoyle, 1-0 with a 1.83. The Woodpeckers have been introduced this thirsty Thursday as a crowd is still filing in on a warm Thursday night. Great night for discounted beverages and some baseball. That's coming up around the corner. We've got more numbers on the starting pitchers and the starting lineups next. First, let's send you down to the diamond for the singing of the national anthem. Game 3 between the Ballers and the Woodpeckers is coming up next.
Barbershop.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red,
Shop and tonight's Field of Dreams teams, Ball Arena Softball.
Let's go down to the diamond. Woodpeckers baseball starts now.
Dirty throws it deep left field. This ball's way back there. Tie game. 3-run home run. Line drive out to left field. Long run. It gets down. It hops off the wall. Rounding third. That ball's in the bullpen. This game is over.
This will clear the bases. Whitaker going into third. He has driven home all three.
Deep line drive out into right field. Mantueza looking up. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A two-run walk-off home run. And that pitch is called strike three. They have done it. The second combined no-hitter in Woodpeckers franchise history.
Woodpeckers baseball is live on the air wherever you are. FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, the MILB First Pitch app, Bally Live, and MILB.TV. Hello again, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. We are ready for some midweek action. It's game three of this six-game series. The Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers, the single-A affiliates of the Astros and the Chicago White Sox. Right-hander Tyler Guilfoyle gets the start today. He is the eighth-rounder out of the University of Kentucky. In 2022, he carries a 1-0 record, not quite a qualifying ERA, but an awful impressive one, 1.83 over five games, two starts, 19 and two-thirds innings this year of work. He has recorded a save. He's given up four earned runs, eight walks, and 24 strikeouts on the year for Guilfoyle, coming off of four innings of one-hit ball on the road in Salem, his last time out. And he gets ready to face the top three of the Cannonballers order, Jordan Sprinkle, Brooks Baldwin, and Tim Elko. The middle three are cleanup hitter Jacob Burke, activated off of the injured list today. Bryce Willits is fifth. Luis Pineda, the catcher, is sixth. And the seven through nine are Drake Logan, Cabrera Weaver, and Mario Camilletti. The first pitch of our ball game is out. It is swung on by Jordan Sprinkle and fouled back into the screen. 7:06 p.m. tonight in Fayetteville. First pitch time, and it is partly cloudy, 79 degrees. A beautiful day for baseball. Thirsty Thursday, discounted beverages. Healy's Bar is busy out in right field, and the fans continuing to file into the seats. Top of the zone fastball fouled back, and it is nothing and two on Jordan Sprinkle. Sprinkle comes in batting 215 on the year, no home runs and 10 RBIs. He's been the leadoff man in all three games of this series. Swings and lofts this out into shallow right. Espinoza coming in on it and calling off his retreating infield. He'll make the catch, one out, and it brings up Brooks Baldwin. And as he steps into the box, Colin has the defensive arrangement behind Guilfoyle in this one.
That was a clean sheet for Fayetteville defensively. No errors last night. Garrett McGowan back in the lineup. He's in left field. The debuting Luis Perez in center. Pinch hit yesterday. First start today. Espinosa out in right. Tyler Whitaker, the third baseman. Leo's Danny Molina at short. Jackson Lofton at second. Ricardo Ballo, the first baseman. And John Garcia does the catching for Guilfoyle.
First pitch to Brooks Baldwin. A little high for ball one. Guilfoyle working quick. Delivers a strike. One ball and one strike. The Cannonballers are back in the Road Blues today. A blue top with ballers and white cursive across the chest. Swing by Baldwin and a miss on a slider, and it is 1-2. Red numerals, small number on the front, big red numeral on the back, and a red belt with a gray pant. Red pinstripe down the side of that pant leg and blue helmets for the hitters. And meanwhile, the Woodpeckers are back in the retro threads today. That three-tone ball cap with the black backing, red bill, white front, and the digital Fayetteville F on the front of that cap. Next pitch to Baldwin, strikes him out swinging. High fastball got him. And two up, two down for Guilfoyle. It's the stripe pattern uniform with the red, gray, white, black striped pattern down the bottom torso of the uniform, a black numeral on the back of the jersey, white pants, a black pinstripe down the side of the pant leg today, and high red ring socks for the players that choose to wear them high today. And here's the first pitch to Tim Elko, home run leader in the league with eight. And he takes the first pitch fastball, 0-1, a strike. Guilfoyle quickly gets ahead. Next pitch, reaching out in front of a breaking ball and pulling it foul left side. So Guilfoyle trying for a snappy inning. He's gone scoreless in terms of earned runs in three of his five outings this year. Did not allow an earned run on the road to Salem or in both outings on the road in Columbia. At home, he's given up at least two runs in both of his appearances. So trying to better that right here at Segra Stadium. The 0-2, Elko takes it on the outside corner. Strike three called. And Tyler Guilfoyle makes quick work of the top three Cannonballers hitters and gets to the home first inning. It'll be Luis Perez, Tyler Whitaker, and Narve Cruz to lead it off. We have the rest of the Woodpeckers starting lineup as well when we come back.
Get to Segra Stadium, the best bird in the world, Bunker. Bunker's entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop, right here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Let's make some noise for Bunker! Hey fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three. Connor McCullough. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 15, Luis Perez.
Just underway in downtown Fayetteville, it is the bottom of the first inning. Cannonballers go down in order. And now Luis Perez, the leadoff hitter for the Woodpeckers, fouls away a Connor McCullough fastball. It is 0-1. Perez will be followed by Tyler Whitaker and then Narve Cruz, the 1-2-3. Ricardo Ballo hits cleanup. John Garcia is fifth and Garrett McGowan sixth. Perez sticks the bat out and pops it over his own dugout. 0-2. The 7-9 hitters feature Jackson Lofton, Rolando Espinosa, and Leo's Danny Molina. Luis Perez debuted yesterday, a pinch hit appearance in the ninth. Takes another cut and fouls it back. And he almost hit a home run in his first Carolina League at bat. Made it all the way to the left center field warning track near the carve-out. And after pinch hitting yesterday, steps up into the leadoff spot today. Played in 50 Florida Complex Leagues last year. Batted a collective 205 and now takes on full season pro ball, getting his first start with the Woodpeckers tonight. Swing and a miss at a slider down to the dirt. It's backhanded by Pineda. He drops the tag and completes the strikeout. So Perez is retired. Tyler Whitaker coming up. Connor McCullough is your reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week. McCullough with a 1-2 record, a 2.79 ERA, makes his fifth start of the season tonight. 19 and two-thirds total innings. He struck out 25 over that stretch, just five walks allowed. He's given up one home run, six total earned runs, and 16 hits. His first pitch, a fastball outside to Whitaker, entered his 1-1. McCullough is a 23-year-old, originally from the state of Arkansas, and he went to Kansas State. He's a former teammate of Casey Ford, who was on the opening day roster for the Woodpeckers, now up with High A Asheville. One ball and one strike on Whitaker. As McCullough out of the windup, delivers. And here's a ground ball up the middle. Ranging to his left from shortstop is Jordan Sprinkle, and it's under his glove. Out into center field, Tyler Whitaker, who went 0-for-4 yesterday but hit the ball hard all four times, finally has a hit to show for it. Begins his day 1-for-1, and I think it's pretty clear that his timing is back after those 10 days where he was unable to play due to concussion protocol. He said it was taking him a minute to get back into the swing of things, and he's really starting to time it up well.
Yeah, and still looks like a very improved hitter at the plate compared to what we saw from him a year ago. A lot more disciplined.
Now it's Narbe Cruz, the DH today for the Woodpeckers, in a first pitch fastball called strike one.
Ironically enough, he didn't hit that ball all that hard, and that's the one that ends up being the single. Baseball would be such a cruel game.
Next pitch to Cruz, a little early on a breaker, and tips it off the end of the bat. Just a great outing for McCullough as he spins, throws over to first, and Whitaker dives back in. His last time out against the Augusta Green Jackets, he went six scoreless innings. Nearly perfect. He gave up just one hit, no walks, seven strikeouts, and his best pro appearance so far. The 0-2 strikes out Cruz. Another slider down and outside. Same pitch he got Luis Perez with. And two quick outs for McCullough after surrendering the single. Here is the switch hitter, Ricardo Ballo, who will bat from the left side, and as he steps in, Colin has the Kannapolis defense for you.
Cabrera Weaver gets his first action in the series. He's out in left field for the Cannonballers, as does Jacob Burke, activated from the injured list in center field. Drake Logan, the big home run yesterday in right. Brooks Baldwin at third, Jordan Sprinkle to shortstop. Mario Camilletti back in the lineup. He is at second as Ballo fouls first pitch straight back. Bryce Willits, the first baseman, and Luis Pineda back in the lineup. He does the catching for McCullough.
So a one-strike count on Ballo. Ricardo Ballo comes in batting 378, a home run and seven driven in. Pickoff throw to first. That's close, and Whitaker just got a hand in. Turns to the back with that right hand, and Ricardo Ballo will await another pitch. Ballo's one home run this season came here at home, ripped it over the right field wall in Healy's Bar. Takes a cut on the 1-1 pitch, pops it foul onto the train tracks. Two strikes on Ballo. Just a slight breeze today blowing out towards left center field. Nothing that will affect the baseball, but a little bit warmer today, and you have to wonder if the ball may carry a touch more. Yesterday, the Woodpeckers kept finding the warning track. Four or five balls, dying just short of home runs. Ballo swings early on the 0-2, rolls it along first. It's picked up in front of the bag by Willits. He'll hustle over himself and complete the unassisted putout and end the inning. A Tyler Whitaker single is all. He rolls it into center field, and they leave him aboard. And after one, we're scoreless on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Oh, it is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and if you or your kids haven't thanked your teachers, you still got time. It's going on all week. I'm here with three educators from our fine county here. You're from Douglas Byrd. Regina, what do you teach?
Entrepreneurship and career management.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Art.
Art? This is Holly from Hope Mills Middle. Holly, were you a good student in school?
Very good.
Are you sure?
Excellent.
Did you ever cut class?
Never.
I don't believe you.
Not even in college.
Peggy from Ferguson Easley, what is your favorite subject to teach?
Reading.
Why?
Because when you can read, you can do anything.
Oh, God, I love teachers. Folks, we're not paying our teachers enough. Everybody in this stadium, give it up for teachers right now. We usually say go Packers on three, but everybody in this stadium say go teachers on three. One, two, three. That's right.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Guilfoyle. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Cannonballers, the center fielder, number 29, Jacob Burke.
Top of the second inning, and Jacob Burke will lead it off for the Cannonballers in his first at bat of the regular season. Tyler Guilfoyle back out to work, and his first pitch, a fastball strike. It is 0-1. Burke activated off of the injured list today. And now getting his first game action of the season. Next pitch outside from Guilfoyle, and it is 1-1. And here's the next delivery. A slider on the outside corner. Good pitch by Guilfoyle, and it's a three-pitch mix for Guilfoyle. He has the fastball, the changeup, and then the slider is actually, he calls it the sweeper, which has a little bit more drop to it and really cuts from inside to out. He misses outside, and it's 2-2. Jacob Burke in a 2-2 count. Infield, outfield, playing him straight up, and here's the 2-2. Reaches out off the end of the bat. That ball is rolled to third. It's collected by Whitaker, and a high throw to first brought in for out number one. So Burke retired. Guilfoyle has retired four in a row to get the day started, and it brings up Bryce Willits. We actually have a new toy up here in the broadcast booth, Colin, I'm pretty excited about, and hopefully it'll help modernize our broadcast a little bit for some of our viewers. But we now have a bit of access to the Hawkeye system that is here in the ballpark and tracking some of the pitch velos and exit velos and home run distances. A special thanks to Woodpeckers video coordinator Hayden Pierce for helping hook us up with some of the numbers, and we'll be bringing you some more accurate info on the broadcast now this season as a result here at Segra Stadium.
You can also look at that spin rate that's all of a sudden been a real big craze as far as analytics go.
Sure. Fastball is inside. Now every national broadcast you watch, whether it's ESPN or any of the regional sports networks, they have the exit velo and the home run distance for you instantly, right as that ball clears the fence or as the pitch comes in. Here's the 2-1, and it misses down and inside. That was a close pitch. And for Willits, it's now a 3-ball-and-1-strike count. Bryce Willits batting 320 on the year, 3 home runs and 11 driven in. 3-ball pitch is pulled deep out to right field, hooking along the line, and this is a no-doubt home run out of here. Bryce Willits hits his fourth of the year and opens the scoring up tonight with a long ball. It is 1-0 Kannapolis in the second.
You were right about that one, Chappie. No doubt about it. The only question was whether it would stay fair or not, and didn't hook it too far. Landed about 10 feet fair, had some room to spare, and Guilfoyle's given up 2 home runs this year. Both of them have come at Segra Stadium.
A 371-foot home run for Bryce Willits. Left the bat at 104 miles an hour. And now it's Luis Pineda. A knee-high fastball called strike one on the Kannapolis catcher.
And that pitch was a little bit off-center on the outside part of the plate, so it was a good job by Willits to turn on it and pull it down the line.
Next pitch called a strike. That was the sweeper from Guilfoyle. And it is 0-2. Pineda playing his second game of the series. And now the 0-2. Sweeper again, and it misses outside. One ball and two strikes on Pineda. He's batting just 167 on the year. Pair of home runs and nine driven in. The 1-2. Late swing into a fastball. Got him. So Pineda down on strikes. That fastball about 90 miles per hour for Guilfoyle, and it brings up Drake Logan.
You give up runs, at least give up home runs, that is. Give him up with nobody on base. And Guilfoyle, a good job refocusing. He's got that strikeout pitch working, three already through an inning and two-thirds. He's looked sharp despite the one mistake.
Here's Logan taking strike one on a sweeper in its 0-1. Logan hit his first home run of the season yesterday, two-run shot in that three-run fourth inning. Fastball framed on the outside edge, good pitch, and it is 0-2. Logan finished the day 1-for-4. He also walked in a run in the ninth, finished with a team-high three RBIs. 0-2 pitch strikes him out swinging. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Tyler Guilfoyle picks up his fourth strikeout, but he gives up the home run to Bryce Willis, and it's the Cannonballers striking first. 1-0 as we go to the bottom of the second on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
For the Catlett Family Dentistry Smile Cam.
What I want.
Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 20, John Garcia.
Connor McCullough back to the mound, and now he has a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the second, faces John Garcia, and his first pitch off the plate, low and away. 1-0, a solo home run by Bryce Willits, his fourth of the year, as the ballers on the board first for a third straight game. Now Garcia swings and chops one foul beyond his manager. Ricky Rivera working the third base coach's box tonight. And Dylan Mazzo is over at first. Our two-man umpiring crew has Cameron Jones behind the plate and Travis Roberson working the bases. The umpires in the black caps, the black polos, and the dark gray pants. 1-1 on Garcia. Here's the pitch. Changeup is on the inside edge. Called a strike, and it is 1-2. Garcia will be followed by Garrett McGowan and then Jackson Lofton. And here's the 1-2 offering. Swing and a roller along third. That's scooped by Ricky Rivera. A foul ball. Stays 1-2 on John Garcia, hitting just 177 on the year. He has two home runs and five driven in. 11 hits and 11 runs scored. He's also walked 11 times. John Garcia originally grew up in the Dominican Republic, and then moved to New York in his teenage years. Fastball missed outside, and it's two balls and two strikes. And so that's where his baseball career really started to get serious, once he got to New York and started playing the competition in the States. 2-2 pitch, and he reaches at a slider. That same pitch has been working in this first and second inning for Connor McCullough. Down and away breaking ball. Perez, Cruz, and Garcia have all gone down swinging at it. Three strikeouts over the first five batters face. Connor McCullough picking up where he left off from May 4th with a quality start. Six scoreless innings against Augusta. Now he faces left-handed batter Garrett McGowan, his first at-bat of the series. First pitch is low, and it's one ball and no strikes.
Yeah, McCullough, no stranger to pitching against big-time talent. He went undrafted, but in 2019, he was with the Harwich Mariners of the Cape Cod Baseball League. Put up a 1.05 ERA that summer.
Slider called a strike on the inside corner.
Seen guys from that aren't big-time prospects. Trey Dombrowski the following summer, two summers after that, sub one ERA in the Cape League. So it's a great chance for a lot of these arms to really prove themselves against some of the premier college talent in the entire country.
Now the 2-1 to McGowan. Off the end of the battle, one hopper right back to the mound. It's grabbed above the shoulders by McCullough. He strolls halfway to first, underhands to Willits, and there's two gone. Yeah, Connor McCullough, he is known as being a Kansas State Wildcat for his whole career. That's where he pitched the entire time. But he originally went to the University of Arkansas. He was at the University of Arkansas for the fall semester of 2018, and then he transferred to Kansas State in 2019. Jackson Lofton ready, and here's the pitch. It starts him out with a strike. A slider hovers over the middle, and it's 0-1. Jackson Lofton at just 131 on the year. No home runs, four driven in. Swings and chops this ball foul beyond third.
He only got
0-2.
Only pitched one game last year in the Arizona Complex League with the White Sox, but seems like this full offseason with a professional baseball club has really done wonders for his stuff on the mound, because he's been one of the sharpest guys in the entire league in the first month plus of the year.
Yeah, the White Sox have to be pretty thrilled with the signing they made, and McCullough with the early progress. And now a fastball on the outside corner gets Jackson Lofton looking. 92 mile per hour pitch, and it's a 1-2-3 second for Connor McCullough that gets us to the third. 1-0 Cannonballers on the solo home run. This is the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Get on your feet for the Brian Hunter T-shirt toss. Make some noise.
Get a little deeper down on the low key. She know how I feel. I got a shorty, she was checking up for me. From the game, she was spitting in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to
walk out.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Guilfoyle. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Cannonballers, the left fielder, number eight.
Cabrera Weaver leads off the third inning. Tyler Guilfoyle back onto the mound. 1-0 Ballers. And now to take you through the play-by-play, let's send it over to Colin.
All right, thank you, Andrew Chapman. Pitch misses down and away for Guilfoyle to Weaver. First action in the series for Cabrera Weaver. And he's been swinging a pretty hot bat as of late. Has five doubles in his last 10 games. Swing and a miss. And it's 1-1. One of three players in the Carolina League to have five doubles over his last 10 games. Cardo Ballo among that group as well. And here he cracks one high in the air to center field. Working his way back, Perez still going back, and he drops it on the warning track. And Weaver will round second and will head to third. Leadoff man 90 feet away to begin the top of the third inning. Perez got back there, got his leather on it, but just couldn't squeeze it. And a tough break for Guilfoyle. But with one down, the nine hitter, Mario Camilleri, steps into an RBI chance. Nobody out, rather.
Yeah, it looked like Perez might have lost the ball for a moment. It was hit really high. And I think he lost it, found it again, had to continue retreating. Then he got pressed up against the wall, got a little uncomfortable, and just hit off the heel of his glove. It's going to go as an error, though.
And the line drive will bring in the second run of the ball game for Kannapolis. Mario Camilleri, an RBI single. Weaver struts on home. 2-0 the score in the third. And Chappie, you wonder if it might just be inexperience for Perez playing center field in this ballpark. It is a long run out to center field, and that big wall can be tricky as a young center fielder. And I think Perez might have just lost track of where he was and was more worried about the wall than he was securing the catch, as a breaking ball from Guilfoyle misses down and away to Jordan Sprinkle.
Yeah, there are some kind of zigzag patterns in the wall here that you have to get used to at Segra Stadium, from that carve out in left center, then how the wall kind of juts back a little bit in more dead center. So it takes a little bit of navigating.
Sprinkle takes one for ball two. He flew out to right field to begin the ball game. Has an oddly similar feel to the fourth inning of yesterday's game. Trey Dombrowski surrendered a ball hit by Bryce Willits out to the right center field gap. Ball fell, ended up being a triple. And Kannapolis would go on to score three runs in the inning. It's fouled right back. Guilfoyle battling back against Sprinkle.
Yeah, I was going to mention the same thing, Colin, where as a pitcher you get kind of put in a tough spot where you probably should have had an out. And then even if you give up a hit on the other end, costs you a run.
It is an E8 going against Perez. Called strike two on the corner. So that an unearned run. Not charged, rather, to Guilfoyle. Decent lead off the first for Camilleri. Two strike pitches fouled off to the right. An average for Sprinkle now at 213 on the year. No homers, 10 driven in. Speedster out of UC Santa Barbara. The 2-2. Chopped foul towards the Kannapolis on deck circle. Game 3 of 6 this week for the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers before Fayetteville goes on the road. Take on the Down East Wood Ducks in Kinston, North Carolina. Under an hour away from Fayetteville. Fouled off again, and Sprinkle continues to stay alive. Those Wood Ducks right now, hottest team in the Carolina League, winners of 6 in a row, 2 games clear of the Carolina Mudcats in the North Division. Single A affiliate of the Texas Rangers. So we pitch number 39 for Guilfoyle, and it just misses for a ball. Got an inch inside, and the count now full.
Seen a lot of teams in the league this year, even the Woodpeckers with their 5-game win streak first week of the year, go on 5-, 6-, 7-game stretches. These Cannonballers, I think, won 6 in a row. Columbia's gone on a big run down east now.
Payoff pitch down and away, and it's the first walk issued by Guilfoyle. So an E8, an RBI single, and now a walk as the first three batters have become runners for Kannapolis. And Brooks Baldwin will step in, 2 on and nobody out. Baldwin struck out the first time he saw Guilfoyle, went down swinging. Had a walk in an 0-for-4 effort last night. Guilfoyle steps off and re-engages. That average still above 300, though, for Baldwin. Fastball misses a hair in tight. Baldwin, the North Carolina native out of Whiteville, turns 23 in August. Takes one low this time, attended University of North Carolina in Wilmington, and about 2 hours to the southeast of Fayetteville. Got a chance to go to Wilmington last year, really great area. Good vacation spot right on the water. And there's a called strike, 2-1.
Yeah, you get the Wrightsville Beach area out there, which is one of the top beach destinations, I'd say, in North Carolina. Great area to go to college, for sure. It's kind of like West Coast Santa Barbara type stuff.
2-1, and Baldwin steps out on fastball. And Guilfoyle looking for that all-important first out of the inning with one already home. Baldwin was initially drafted in the 15th round by San Francisco in June of 2021. 2-2 is fouled back. Nice little Thursday night crowd on hand. Guilfoyle comes set, looks at second. Decent lead for Camaletti. And the count is now full. Tim Elko, the Carolina League leader in home runs with 8, waits on deck. Payoff pitch, and it's fouled right over our heads. Last year, Baldwin had about 77 plate appearances with Kannapolis over 18 games. Payoff is hit in the air out to center field. Perez, a chance at redemption. He's going back, and he makes the catch this time. Fires it in towards second. Both runners tagging, and a heads-up play by Jordan Sprinkle at first base, recognizing how far back that ball was. Tagged up at first base, went into second. Camaletti up to third. It's 2 in scoring position, 1 down, and in steps Elko.
Well, the ball will find you, and it's finding Perez right now. And another high arcing fly ball that he didn't look super comfortable with. He kind of shifted his shoulders a couple of times before finally getting to the spot. Aggressive play by Kannapolis, though, to get 2 in scoring position.
Infield back in for the Woodpeckers. And Elko gets a fastball up and away. Guilfoyle allowed two runs, one earned so far. Ties the most runs he's allowed in an outing. Wave and a miss, 1-1. Gave up 2 in his season debut against the Fredericksburg Nationals in a 3-2 victory on April 12th. That was a relief appearance. And his last home start against Down East, he gave up a pair. He's not quitting this time, and swing and a miss. Elko will think things over for a few moments. The Packers trying to keep this one competitive early. Hope that the bats can wake up after what's been a dormant series offensively. Down and away, 2-2. Fly ball certainly would bring in that runner from third in Camaletti. The pitch just outside. And another deep count worked by a Kannapolis hitter. 3-2. Seen Elko be aggressive in this series. Now he's playing it a bit more patient, waiting for his pitch. Will Guilfoyle go right after him? The 3-2. And it's spoiled into the dugout. Elko will see another pitch. .324 batting average for Elko this season. But he swings and misses here. Guilfoyle picks up strikeout number 5. This one probably the biggest so far. Keeps both runners in scoring position. Now with 2 away. And Jacob Burke, the batter.
Yeah, huge fastball there from Guilfoyle. Just shy of 90 miles an hour, but well located. And he set up Elko with a couple of those sweepers down and outside. So he really slows down that pitch and then quickens it up on him.
Burke foul tips the first pitch into the mitt. In his first at-bat of the season, he grounded out to third. The 0-1. Chase pitch. Garcia forced to dig it out of the dirt.
Jury Carrasco starting to warm up out there in the bullpen for Fayetteville. The pitch count for Guilfoyle getting up there in this inning. I think he's close to 30 pitches in this inning.
His 58th of the night is on the outside corner for a called strike. Wind blown quite a bit. I'm sure that would have helped Fayetteville last night with all the balls they hit out to the outfield. Could have gotten a little bit more carry on a mild Thursday evening. 1-2. Swung on and missed. Tyler Guilfoyle battles in the third inning. Had to throw a ton of pitches, but he gets out of it with just the one unearned run allowed. Kannapolis strands 2 in scoring position. They lead it 2-0 after 2.5 from Segura.
Fans, we have some groups in attendance this evening. Take a look at the big board. And when you see your name, make some noise to let us know where you're sitting.
On the mound for the Cannonballers, Connor McCullough. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, number 1, Rolando Espinosa.
Rolando Espinosa gets his first at-bat of the night to begin the bottom of the third inning, and he fouls it right off the roof of the Avex Club. Ends up being a souvenir. Connor McCullough back out on the mound. He has been sharp outside of a Tyler Whitaker one-out single in the first. And his 0-1 is blown past Espinosa. Nothing in 2. Rolando on the year, .229. Still no home runs and 3 driven in.
Stop. Have a time.
The 0-2, this is up and away. Oh. And Espinosa lays off just off the corner. Rolando had a trip out to Texas the end of April. Just got back at the start of this series, and he is down on strikes. Good-looking slider. And McCullough has the first out. That is his fifth strikeout of the ball game already. And Leo's Danny Molina will step in. So not quite the same dominance we saw out of the Cannonballers yesterday. It was a lot of balls in play. This time it's a strikeout pitch that's worked for Connor. Leo's Danny Molina takes ball one at an even 200 on the year. It's the one home run and eight driven in. There's strike one. Molina spent quite a bit of time here, actually all season in 2022. Hits one hard on the ground up the middle. Sprinkle moves to his left and throws in time for out number two. 6-3 put out. Ends the first time through the order for the Woodpeckers. They've only been able to muster the one single. And Luis Perez will get another chance. Struck out swinging his first time up. Perez wearing that number 15, vacated by Ryan Clifford, who was promoted on the off day on Monday to High A Asheville. Breaking ball misses down and away to Perez. Tourists this week are down in Rome, Georgia, taking on the Braves affiliate. It came in the bottom of the second inning, 3-3 score. Asheville jumped out to a 3-0 lead, but Rome has responded with three in the bottom of the second. Cancel it out. Called strike two on Perez. As far as Clifford goes, no official at-bat yet for him as he drew a walk his first time up. 1-2, and Perez rolls it over to third. Brooks Baldwin comes up throwing, and he beats Perez to the bag by half a step. Close play, but it results in a 1-2-3 third inning for Connor McCullough, and Kannapolis takes a 2-0 lead into the fourth.
Time for some baseball basics. Take it away, Doug.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with Patrick. This fine American is stationed at Fort Bragg. It's still Fort Bragg for another few days, by the way, until we make it Fort Liberty. Patrick, what do you... I know. What do you do on base?
I'm the Battalion XO for the Headquarters Battalion, 18th Airborne Corps.
Fantastic. Let's see how much our boy Patrick here knows about baseball. Let's check out the big board. When is there crying in baseball? A, when you have a boo-boo. B, when your team loses. C, there is no crying in baseball. Which?
C, no crying in baseball.
Patrick says it's C. That is correct. There is no crying in baseball. Well done, sir. Up next. How many outs are there in an inning? Think carefully. How many outs? A, B, or C? 6-3 or 9?
A.
He says 6. A. He is correct. 2-for-2. One more. It's us. How many people do you see on the screen, Patrick?
2.
2. He's correct. Got it? Okay. Patrick, look at that camera right there and say, go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Tyler Guilfoyle. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Cannonballers, the first baseman, number 27, Bryce Willits.
Bryce Willits looks to replicate his first at-bat, which ended in a solo home run to right field to begin the top of the fourth inning. He takes called strike one. Tyler Guilfoyle back on the mound. Willits hit one of 377 down the right field line over everything. Picked up his fourth home run of the season. 1-1 to the lefty. Guilfoyle now over 60 pitches on the outing. Pitch misses down and away. So based on what we've seen all season long out of Fayetteville starters, have to imagine that it's going to be very difficult for him to get through this fourth inning without being lifted, as there's a pop-up left side. This will make its way into foul territory and into the seats. Guilfoyle looking for strikeout number 7, but he can't get a chase on the sweeper in the dirt. Spiked that one about 3 feet in front of the plate. Guilfoyle, the Lexington, Kentucky native, deuces another foul ball. Drafted in round 8 last year by the Houston Astros. Chance to live out playing for this school of his hometown, the University of Kentucky, as he misses outside, issues his second walk of the ball game to begin the fourth inning. Now's after 3 seasons at Lipscomb University in Nashville. Very impressive career there in the all-freshman team, all-freshman conference team in 2019, and then the all-conference second team in the A-Sun in 2021. Breaking ball, the first pitch to Luis Pineda. He fouls it back.
That's got to be the dream of every little leaguer in that area, to play for the Kentucky Wildcats one day and, you know, then have the chance to go pro afterwards. And Guilfoyle, like you said, he started at Lipscomb, but then he still got to complete that dream of being a Kentucky Wildcat when it was all said and done. Only a small handful, I imagine, get to do that.
0-1 to Pineda, outside corner. Everyone, of course, points to the Wildcats being a University of Kentucky, being a basketball school. John Calipari there for the last several years, but heck of a baseball program as well. Line drive, and Guilfoyle eats it, limps over, picks it up to throw, pulls Ballo off the bag. And unfortunately for Guilfoyle, that adds some insult to injury, and hopefully nothing too bad, as he's a bit hobbled. That line drive came off the bat at 103 miles an hour, and Jennifer Bardalis, along with Ricky Rivera, out to the mound to check on Guilfoyle. And Chappie, at 68 pitches, you wonder if Rivera might just end up taking him out of the game out of precaution after that.
Yeah, I mean, Guilfoyle's likely only to face one more batter. You could tell after that line drive hit him, he was a little bit hobbled and didn't really have his lower half under him when he threw that ball to first.
He's going to stay in.
Yeah, and they tried out with a couple of warm-up pitches. I think he knows as well his day's almost done anyway, so might as well fight through it. I think he's going to, unfortunately, along with the bruise, be hit with an error here. We'll see how they officially score it, but good to see him able to carry on. He took that one flush in the back of the leg.
Yeah, you got it right there. They will charge him with an error.
Yeah, had the throw been accurate, it would have gotten Pineda at first, so you got to hit him with the E1.
Second error of the ball game for Fayetteville already. Fastball high, a throw down, and that nearly ended up being a third as Garcia skipped it in, and I think that one caught Bryce Willits in the ribs.
I got him in the right thigh, the outside of the right thigh.
Definitely a lot better than what would have been further up.
Everybody catching bruises right now.
Guilfoyle glances at Willits at second, and the 1-0. A little bit outside. Drake Logan, the batter. He struck out swinging in the second inning in his lone at-bat so far. And a fly ball hit foul off to the right. Logan, San Diego native, 22 years old, 19th round draft pick last year out of Shelton State Community College down in Alabama. Takes one outside, ball 3. Wasn't the only draftee the last couple of years out of that school to the White Sox. Colby Smelly, who we saw a lot of the start of last year in Kannapolis, also a part of the White Sox system. He attended Shelton State. 3-1, called a strike, and the count is full. Logan was assigned to the Complex League in August after being drafted, spent the rest of the season down there before making the opening day roster in Kannapolis this year, and he swings and misses, and another strikeout for Guilfoyle, and that's going to be a great way to end an up and down outing as Ricky Rivera calls to the bullpen, and Tyler Guilfoyle departs after 3 1/3 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts from the right-hander. And he will make his way towards the dugout. A bit of a bruise on his leg, but in good spirits. Called the bullpen for the Woodpeckers. We'll tell you about the change when we come back.
Always fold just before you foul them out. Drink up its last call, last resort, but only the first mistake. I'm 2 quarters and a heart down, and I don't want to forget how your voice sounds. These words are all I have, so right then, so you need them just to get by.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 36, Tori Carrasco.
And I'll win that fight. TNT. I'm a power load. TNT. Watch me
first and second, one out. A 2-0 lead for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and right-hander Dury Carrasco takes over for Woodpecker starter Tyler Guilfoyle, and right away a bunt laid down by Weaver, and no play for Whitaker. So Cabrera Weaver testing out Carrasco's fielding ability immediately has him come off the mound, and honestly can't lay a bunt down much better than that. I wonder if Weaver was just trying to move the runners in scoring position. Instead, he's got a single.
Well, and Carrasco is a guy that can field well. Keep in mind, he was a middle infielder for the first half of his career prior to transitioning to the pitching side, but that was perfectly placed with Tyler Whitaker playing too deep, and probably best idea just to pocket it, knowing you have a couple of runners at that thrown gotten wild, probably coming home. Oh, we got a balk now, though.
And that balk will bring home a run. Whoever moves up 90 feet, including Bryce Willits, who scores the third run of the game. And that one will be charged to Tyler Guilfoyle. He's still responsible for the man at third. That's Luis Pineda. A big swing by Mario Camaletti, the batter, and he fouls it off. Saw balks be an issue for the Woodpeckers in the last home series against Down East. It was 9 or 10. That's how you know it's bad, when you lose count how many were called by the umpiring crew. And Carrasco heading the count now, 0-2.
Find yourself in the same spot now tonight that you were in yesterday, except all three runs came in the fourth inning. But again, you're down 3-0, fourth inning, and Carrasco in a tough spot.
The two-strike pitch. is hit well into right field, sinking quickly, and it drops in front of Espinosa. He comes up firing. Second runner trying to come in. The tag is in time. Cabrera Weaver was flying around the bases. He nearly caught Pineda, who was trying to score. But instead, he's tagged out, so it will be an RBI single for Camaletti. He's at first base. It's now 4-0, but second out recorded on the 9-3 putout throw coming in from Espinosa, the tag placed by Garcia. Called strike one on Jordan Sprinkle. Sprinkle 0-for-1 with a walk. That officially closes the book now on Guilfoyle. End up being 4 runs allowed for him. There's strike two on Sprinkle. 3 of them will be earned. On by as Carrasco comes set and delivers. Ground ball through the right side of the infield. That'll be a hit. Camaletti will stop at second base. And Kannapolis, even after scoring 2 already in the inning, they've got 2 more on the bases. And comes the dangerous part of the order for the Cannonballers. It'll be Brooks Baldwin, the batter. He's 0-for-2.
Well, it goes back to that play a moment ago. I wasn't a huge fan of sending Weaver on that liner. It's into shallow right, and a good chance the throw's going to be around the plate by the time he comes home. You got 1 out in the inning, and the top of your order coming up. You might as well just keep that runner at third and let the top of the order go to work. And if they held him, it'd be a 5-0 game.
Strike one called on Baldwin. 3 straight singles surrendered by Carrasco since entering the ball game. All one. Swung on and missed. Kannapolis has now outscored the Woodpeckers 17-1 so far to start this series.
Oof.
This is a Woodpeckers team that had the best run differential in all of the Carolina League to start the year, and a called strike 3 on Baldwin, and Carrasco finds his way out of the jam, but not before. Kannapolis doubles their lead. It's 4-0. We head to the bottom of the fourth from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
That's the plate for the Cannonballers. Take a look at the video board. These two lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house. You've won a tumbler, courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, show us those tumblers. You never take advice. So cool. For the Cannonballers, Connor McCullough. Leading off the bottom of the third inning, the PWC Power.
2-3-4, due up from Fayetteville. Tyler Whitaker steps in against right-hander Connor McCullough, who has gone 3 scoreless innings and has struck out 5. Another gem being spun by a Kannapolis starter, a theme throughout the first three games of this series. Can't get Whitaker to chase on the fastball away. Whit, the only one who's gotten a hit against McCullough. It was a single up the middle back in the first. Takes a big cut and fouls it back. Average now at 246 on the season for Tyler. He was really in a rhythm at the plate prior to that injury he suffered a couple of weeks back. There he swings and misses, and that is strike three. So McCullough with strikeout number six, and he is now set down 10 in a row. Pardon me, that's nine in a row for McCullough. He'll look to make it 10 against Narbe Cruz. His 43rd pitch. It's a curveball that misses in tight. Narbe struck out in his first time up. It's a high fly ball in the center. This one will stay in the park. Burke underneath it, two away. Seems like these innings, the top halves have dragged on for Fayetteville and the bottom halves have been far too quick. Not a big surprise when you're a team that hasn't been able to get a whole lot of offense, and Kannapolis has. Ricardo Ballo will look to extend the inning. Takes one low and away. Ballo grounded out softly to first in his only at-bat. Cullough misses low with a changeup. Woodpeckers do fall in this game. It'll be the furthest they'd be under 500 on the season. Hard hit ground ball up the middle, and Ballo has himself a two-out single. His average will rise once again. He's 370 coming into this at-bat. Ricardo Ballo has hit safely in all but one game since he's joined the team. Despite the lack of offense that the Woodpeckers have gotten over the last few days, Ballo has been ever consistent. Big reason why he's batting right in the heart of the order. Now John Garcia takes a called strike.
It was a nice little 99-mile-per-hour ground ball from Ricardo Ballo. Timed up the fastball really well. I think that's his best trait, is he just identifies pitches well out of the hand.
Count even 1-1 on Garcia. Yeah, the barrel just seems to always square up that baseball, no matter if it's a fastball, if it's a slider, a curveball. Pitch recognition, a big-time trait out of the switch hitter.
It's good timing. A lot of stuff up the middle.
This one hit up the middle, and McCullough gets a glove on it. Garcia busting it down the line. The throw pulls the first baseman Willits off the bag, and he places a tag on Garcia to end the inning. So the two-out single for Ballo of little consequence. We're on to the fifth inning. 4-0 lead for the visitors. You're listening right here and watching on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Wagon. They know what's sent into the matters because we met them off and we ain't doing nothing wrong. So don't tell me nothing, I'm just trying to have fun. So keep the party jumping, so what's up? Yeah. And now they don't know what to do. We turn our back and whip our hair and just shake them off. Shake them off. Shake them off. Shake them off. Don't let haters get me off my grind. My hair, if I know, I'll be fine. Again.
Don't let haters give me all my grind. Keep my head up, I know I'll be fine. Keep fighting until I get there. And I'm down and I feel like giving up. I'll think again.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Dory Carrasco. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Cannonballers, the designated hitter, number 30, Tim Elko.
We're on to the fifth at Segra Stadium. Tim Elko will face Dory Carrasco on for his second inning of work, his first full inning of work, I should say. And back on the play-by-play, it's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. Just like last night, Fayetteville finds themselves down multiple runs and pretty quiet on the offensive end. Yesterday they were shut out. Nothing to show for it tonight through four. Now Dory Carrasco in his first pitch to Tim Elko. He spins a slider in there at 78 miles an hour, and it is 0-1. Elko with a quiet night so far. A pair of strikeouts both time against Guilfoyle. Now he faces Carrasco for the first time. Here's the pitch. Foul tips it back to the screen, and it is nothing and two. Sitting on 29 RBIs. He's looking for number 30. And he wears number 30 on the back of that blue Kannapolis road uniform. Carrasco peers in, gets the sign from Garcia, kicks and pitches. And a swing and a miss. He strikes out Tim Elko on a breaking ball working outside. Elko 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts, the hat trick already. It's the ninth strikeout already for Fayetteville pitching. 7 for Guilfoyle, the second for Carrasco. Brings up Jacob Burke in his season debut. Checks his swing on a breaking ball and he went too far. It is 0-1. Burke coming off of the injured list today. Played in 22 games last season for the Cannonballers and batted 269. Pitch is down and in, and did that clip him?
Yeah, I think it got
his knee. He's tossing aside his bat, and I believe it did. Yeah, home plate umpire Cameron Jones will award him first base. And Burke is on for the first time.
It's the last thing you want after returning from the injured list to get plunked there, but just a glancing blow. I'm sure you'll take that to get on base for the first time this season. And another instance where Kannapolis has had a runner on after the 1-2-3 first inning. They've put runners on in every inning since.
Now it's Bryce Willits. He's reached and scored both times today. His fourth home run of the season coming back in the second. First pitch swinging on a 91-mile-per-hour fastball, and he taps it back. 0-1. Carrasco out of the bullpen in the third. We have another Fayetteville arm, though, starting to warm up out there. Right-hander is throwing.
I wonder if it's Mancini.
Looks like it probably is Joey out there. He is the tandem partner of Tyler Guilfoyle's this year. Carrasco looks over that left shoulder. Here's his pitch. It's down to the dirt. A changeup and gets Willits to fish. Nothing and two on Willits.
It's the thing with this duo of Guilfoyle and Mancini this year. You look at their numbers, and I don't think it's really indicative of how well they've pitched this year. They've probably been two of the unluckier guys out of the entire staff.
Big lead off of first. Burke is dancing around. Here's the pitch. A swing at a breaking ball. Look out. That one hops into the Woodpeckers' dugout and sends a couple of guys bailing away from the bench. I think that took out the sunflower seed container. Ian Fago was in the area, and I think Aleem Bersanta had his eyes on the action. Good reflexes. He got out of the way of that foul ball. 0-2 pitch fouled to the first base side, and it'll stay nothing and two on Willits.
Definitely don't want those sunflower seeds to go to waste. I was only an original only. I wasn't a big fan of all the flavors.
See, I didn't like
whatnot.
The original. Oh. Yeah, I was all about the flavors, the ranch seeds, the barbecue seeds. You ever had the nacho cheese seeds? Now they have dill pickle, which might be my all-time favorite.
No, thank you.
Don't knock it till you try it, Colin. Come
fair
on.
Fair enough.
Off of first, runner's going. Pitch is swung on and missed for strike three. The throw down by Garcia is in time. Molina drops the tag on the back foot of Burke, and it's a strike him out, throw him out to end the inning. Dury Carrasco gets some major help from his catcher. He faces the minimum in the fifth, and we're halfway home tonight. The Cannonballers lead the Woodpeckers 4-0.
These dinos are going to be sore after this T-Rexcellent race. You see what I did there? Take it away, Dave. Doug.
Thank you, Ray. All right, folks, back to the Stone Age. It's Fred versus Barney. It's the T-Rex race. Place your bets. Place your bets. In 3, 2, 1, go! Oh, it looks like Barney. It's Fred. Oh, this is neck and neck. Come on, folks, cheer him on. Oh, it's Fred. Fred got it. That's right. Fred has done it. Where are you guys going? Come back here. You can't take T-Rexes anywhere. Hey, Sagra, give me a big go. Peckers on 3, 1, 2, 3. That's right.
On the mound for the Cannonballers, Connor McCullough. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 46, Garrett McGowan.
Garrett McGowan leads off the home fifth inning for the Woodpeckers. They trail Kannapolis 4-0 here in Game 3 of the series. First pitch from Connor McCullough missed low, and it's one ball, no strikes. McCullough has given up just two singles so far, over four scoreless. And that pitch is at the bottom of the zone, 83-mile-per-hour changeup, and it is 1-1. McGowan tapped out to the pitcher his first time. Takes off the plate to the outside, and it's 2-1. McGowan has been out of the lineup for about a week. He fouled a couple of pitches off of his right ankle early in the series in Salem last week, and he's missed some time nursing an ankle injury. 2-1, fastball strike at 89 miles an hour, and it's 2-2.
I did like the way he was swinging his bat in the first couple of games he played in the home series against Down East. He was pulling everything hard on the ground. Had a double, I think, down the right field line as well.
He had four hits over his first five games and takes a slider a little too far outside. Hasn't swung yet in this at-bat. Staying patient, and it's full. 3-2. Lofted on deck, and Espinoza in the hole. Payoff pitch is lifted foul to the train tracks. It'll stay 3-2 on McGowan. First couple of weeks were spent at the Florida Complex, and now McGowan with the Woodpeckers going to probably take on a little bit of a bigger role with the lefty Ryan Clifford now in high A. 3-2 on a line out to left, but that'll peel foul. Solid contact coming off the bat, but it'll stay 3-2 on McGowan. Especially Zach Cole not playing right now, working through a little bit of a finger issue. McGowan's need to try and come up with some hits from that left side as he swings and fouls a fastball back. Cole expected not to be out long. He should be back by the end of this series or early next series.
Yeah, he's in good spirits. Ran into him on the way out yesterday, and he's more mad at himself than anyone else at banging up that finger.
And now's the 3-2 coming. McGowan swings and misses on a fastball. That was a good pitch, 91 miles an hour. From Connor McCullough on the inner half. And McGowan is the strikeout, seventh of the day for Connor McCullough. He's even his strikeout total from his last time out against Augusta on that dazzling six scoreless inning performance. He K'd seven, and tonight he's done it in just 4 1/3. He's got an even better rate going this time, and now it's Jackson Lofton. First pitch off the plate, 1-0.
This is the Connor McCullough I saw on the shores of Cape Cod in 2019. Very effective and very efficient.
Works a slider. by the swing of Lofton, and it's 1-1. Woodpeckers offense has 9 combined hits in this series so far. They've all been singles. Lofton cuts and misses. Fastball kept a little low on him. 91 miles an hour, and he steps out, calls for time. McCullough, non-drafted free agent signing out of Kansas State. The Arkansas native throws the 1-2. Lofton goes up high to get it, fouls it back. It'll stay 1-2. On deck, Rolando Espinoza. Nothing to show for it. These bottom 5 hitters in the order. 1-2, foul tip. That's a foul tip, and Lofton just barely stays alive. You can hear it just barely nick off of the bat. Pineda blocked the ball, dropped the tag, thought he had the 8th strikeout of the day for McCullough, but the bat will continue for Lofton. Lofton trying to pick up his 12th hit of the season. He swings and flies it out into medium right center. Drake Logan sprinting over into the gap, and he'll make the catch for out number 2. Brings up Rolando Espinoza. McCullough retired 9 in a row at one point. He gave up the 2-out single to Ricardo Ballo in the 4th. And since then, he's set down 3 straight. Now Rolando Espinoza, who he struck out swinging back in the 3rd. 7 Ks and no walks so far for McCullough. First pitch down and inside. He hasn't walked anybody since April. Went 6 scoreless innings against Augusta, as mentioned. Last time out, no walks, 7 strikeouts. No free passes in May. The 1-0 is a fastball right at the top of the zone, 90 miles an hour.
And through 15 and 2/3 innings for Kannapolis starters, just 3 walks collectively.
And not a single run allowed so far. 1-1 down the middle. And that is right in the middle of the zone. And that's when Espinosa's got to attack.
No extra base hits either.
Only 68 pitches so far, trying to complete 5 scoreless. Buries a slider low and outside, and Espinoza holds off. We saw Rolando find his swing in the first week of the season before he departed to AAA and was used around Corpus Christi as well. He was 2nd on the team with 6 doubles. Woodpeckers could use his bat again. 2-2. Swings and pops this up. It won't leave the infield. Camaletti putting his arms in the air, calling for it, and the second baseman secures it. Another 1-2-3 inning for Connor McCullough. Just 2 hits given up tonight, and 5 more scoreless innings for the reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week. We go to the 6th, and the Ballers lead the Woodpeckers 4-0.
That have now expanded to cover the Carolinas. For all of your civil legal needs, Hutchins Law Firm can help. As a dedicated partner of the Woodpeckers over the last 5 years, Hutchins and the Woodpeckers would like to recognize the Hutchins Law Firm high-performance season ticket holder of the game, Kevin Galancy. Congratulations, Kev. Cool as a fan.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 30, Joey Mancini.
Had a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is to go on this town tonight. To go on this town tonight.
Your allegiance, get your boutiques on, all black everything, black cards, all black everything, and I just
leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Cannonballers, the catcher, number 45, Luis Pineda.
Luis Pineda is the leadoff hitter for the Cannonballers, and he swings and misses through a Joey Mancini fastball. Mancini takes over behind Dury Carrasco and starts the top of the sixth. It is 4-0 Cannonballers. And the pitch is popped up. First base side, foul territory. It's around the coach's box, and that is caught by Ballo for out number one. So Joey Mancini sets aside Luis Pineda. Now will face Drake Logan, the Kannapolis seven-hitter. Mancini comes in with a 1-1 record, 4.79 ERA, his sixth appearance and third in relief. He's gone 20 and two-thirds innings this season, giving up 11 earned runs, two home runs, and a nice walk-to-strikeout ratio. Six walks, 27 Ks. First pitch to Logan, centers up the zone, and it is 0-1. Mancini, the Boston College graduate, and the 15th rounder last year by Houston. Slider, one hops the plate, and it's 1-1 on Logan. Nothing to show for it tonight for Logan. 0-2, two strikeouts. Here's the wind kick and the 1-1. And that fastball is above the letters. Balls and one strike.
The big thing with Mancini that we're starting to see in real time is he's got a ton of spin on that fastball, up in the 2400s as far as spin rate goes.
And he challenges up top with a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. It's fouled back 2-2. Yep, with that high spin rate on the fastball, it can almost look like it's rising on you when he gets up into the box. I call it having a hoppy fastball. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He pulls the string, goes to the slider, and strikes out Drake Logan for a quick second out.
And that slider there, 2,600. RPM as far as spin goes. It's just so tough to differentiate the fastball and the slider, and that pitch just has so much tail on it away from a right-handed batter. You got a 50-50 shot at guessing it. If you guess wrong, you're going to be way out in front.
Cabrera Weaver is the new batter, and the first pitch is strike one to him. Middle infield press back. First baseman Ballo well off of that line. Swing and a foul backwards, quickly nothing to two. So Joey Mancini trying to make quick work of this Kannapolis lineup. 4-0, and the Woodpeckers still looking for something on the offensive end. As Colin mentioned earlier, they've been outscored 17-1 in this series. The 0-2 on a line out to right, sprinting in Espinoza, still going into a slide, and he shows the baseball. He makes the catch. A nice play by Rolando Espinoza, hustling in and plucking that one off of the grass. A 1-2-3 inning for Joey Mancini. And we go bottom six with the Woodpeckers trailing 4-0. You're listening to Woodpeckers Baseball, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Our contestants.
Okay, it's dugout pong, it's beer pong, there's no beer though. All right, Guillermo and CJ, they're going to toss some balls, and we'll see how many they can get in there. Come on down here. All right, there's your bucket of balls, there's your targets. You guys are going to have about 30 seconds to get as many as you can. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Segra Stadium, are you ready? Dugout pong in 3, 2, 1, go. You can bounce them in. Bouncing counts. Oh, we got one. There's one. Still going. We got about 15 seconds left.
Gila.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. CJ has had enough. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. All right, come here, you cheaters. Give me a big go, Packers, on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Go, Packers!
That's right.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Connor McCullough. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leos Danny Molina.
Bendiciones para todo el mundo.
Leo Stanley Molina leads off the inning for Fayetteville, and he faces the right-hander Connor McCullough, trying to go for another six-inning scoreless start. Same fielded one of the Carolina League Pitcher of the Week on May 4th against Augusta. Gets a strike by the swing of Molina. Next pitch, swung on, broken bat, slow roller up the third baseline. Baldwin charges, bare hands off the grass, throws to first, not in time, and Molina legs it out. Close play, and Molina just barely gets in there with the third Fayetteville hit of the day and the first leadoff hit of an inning.
Well, it's not hit all that hard, but right now Fayetteville will take any hits they can get. Molina has a ton of speed, so any ball on the ground, you know it's going to be a close play at the bag, and just able to beat that throw. It was a great effort by Baldwin, though, at third.
Take him how you can get him right now. We'll see if the Woodpeckers try and get aggressive as well on the bases with the limited base runners they have had. A swing and a foul tip off Pineda for strike one. It is only the third base runner of the game. McCullough has not issued a walk. He has struck out seven. Back-to-back outings now in May where he's K'd seven hitters. And the Woodpeckers have yet to put multiple base runners on in any inning. Spinning a throw over to first, and McCullough's line of thinking might be the same as Molina was buckling that sliding mitt on the left hand. He was Velcroing it up and simultaneously had to dive back to the bag at the same time. 0-1, here's the pitch, and a fastball misses up and outside. If I were a pitcher, I would take advantage of that too. Sometimes it takes guys forever to buckle right. The Velcro on the mitt, and sometimes they're leading off and they're fiddling with it. I would pick over and try and catch him off guard and tie him up. Fastball pumped in for a strike, and it is 1-2 on Luis Perez, getting his first start of the season for Fayetteville. Debuted yesterday as a pinch hitter. 0-2 tonight with a strikeout and a ground out to third. 4-0 Cannonballers. Molina on with the slow rolling single. And here's one off the end of the bat by the mound towards second. Scooped up by Camaletti. No play at second. He'll go to first and get the sure out. Good jump by Molina. Running on first contact. And that ball was hit pretty softly. Killed off the chance at a double play. Molina reaches scoring position. First time a Woodpeckers runner has been standing on second tonight.
As far as Luis Perez goes, four at-bats, four outs recorded so far for the Woodpeckers center fielder, but they've been pretty solid at-bats. He's been able to put the ball in play three out of four times and really swung the bat hard. One of these times he's going to connect, and it's going to go a long, long way.
And time is called. McCullough will disengage and lean in to get the first set of signs for Whitaker. Whitaker with his first base hit of the series in the first inning, rolled it up the middle into center, struck out in the fourth on a slider. And there's a first pitch fastball in the zone, 0-1. McCullough's been living around 91 miles an hour pretty much the entire night, but locating the fastball well, and that down and outside slider to right-handed hitters has given them a lot of trouble tonight. The set in the 0-1. Whitaker foul tips, Pineda squeezes, and it's nothing and two.
We haven't really talked about it this much tonight, Chappie, but that slider on that last one that McCullough threw, 17 inches of horizontal break. That is almost a foot and a half moving from the basically the middle of the plate to 6 inches off the outside edge.
That's why you get a lot of chase on that pitch. The 0-2. Whitaker swings and hits a high fly out of the left center field. Weaver and Burke going back onto the track, and it dies in front of the wall. Molina tags from second, going to third. Different night, same story for Tyler Whitaker. A couple of deep fly balls hit this week at Segra Stadium. And even with the wind blowing out a bit tonight towards left center, the ball just not leaving the yard. Tyler Whitaker under it a fraction of an inch.
It's almost like that gag from Major League 2 with Willie Mays Hayes, how he kept hitting it out to the warning track in left field. And one of these times, it's going to fly over that fence by about 50 feet.
Only difference is Whitaker's not calling his shot when he comes to the plate and points to the video board. Norbe Cruz is in a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch and a pop-up. This should get McCullough out of the inning. Out towards second base, Camaletti waiting for it. He's got it. And for a second straight outing, Connor McCullough has gone 6 scoreless for the Cannonballers. 12 scoreless innings in May. He continues to roll and roll. And the Woodpeckers down 4-0 going to the 7th on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
And received a bachelor's and master's degree from Fayetteville State University. She spent 3 years as a teacher's assistant and has been a teacher for 6 years. Amanda was Teacher of the Year for 2019 to 2020. Amanda currently teaches kindergarten at Lloyd E. Allman Elementary. She also coaches the 6 and under Woodpeckers and has 2 boys of her own, Cameron and Parker, with her husband Adam. Amanda gives and gives to everyone. She devotes her entire soul to teaching and her students. Her hard work is truly deserving of recognition. Fans, let's hear it for Amanda Mitchell.
Come on in and don't be shy. Just to make your day complete. You might get baked into a pie on the magic scuba. Step inside, it's a wild ride. Come on, ride on the magic scuba.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Joey Mancini.
At the very end.
Leading off the top of the 7th inning for the Cannonballers, the second baseman, number 4, Mario Camilletti.
Mario Camilletti leads off the 7th. Joey Mancini is back on the hill. Woodpeckers trailing tonight 4-0 and trying to avoid a second straight shutout defeat. And to take you through the 7th on the play-by-play, let's send it back over to Colin Casey.
Thank you, Chappie. Camilletti, 2 trips, 2 RBI singles tonight. Hits one foul off to the left. Came into today with 5 on the year. Make it 7 now. Kannapolis with the solo home run from Bryce Willits in the 2nd inning. And then followed it up with 2 in the 4th, as there's out number 1. Camilletti grounds out. It was 1 in the 2nd, 1 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th. The scoring tonight, Tyler Guilfoyle ended up going 3 and a 3rd innings, gave up 4 runs, only 2 of them earned, on 2 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Then Dury Carrasco came in to wrap up the 4th inning and pitch the 5th, as the first pitch to Sprinkle is fouled straight back. But Carrasco goes 1 2/3, no runs, 3 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Another fine outing out of the pen for Dury. And Mancini, with the sharp breaking slider, gets Sprinkle down in the count, 0-2. Jordan Sprinkle tonight, 1-for-2 with a single and a walk, along with a flyout. Two-strike pitch from Mancini is fought off. Joey Mancini out of Bridgeport, Connecticut, for attending Boston College. A couple hours away. In the dirt. And it's 1-2. A lot of strong pitchers coming out of Boston College the last couple of years. Emmett Sheehan, the one that comes out to my mind with the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. He was part of that staff as pitch misses down and away. Two and two on Sprinkle. Mancini delivers. Hard hit ground ball to short. Molina again. Throw in time for out number 2. We'll bring up Brooks Baldwin, 2 up, 2 down in the inning. That's the first time we've seen that. Well, actually, Mancini was able to do it last inning. He's retired 5 in a row to start his outing. Go along with the 1 strikeout. Mancini's pitched pretty well in this ballpark this year. And just trying to keep his team in striking distance. Brooks Baldwin takes ball one low. Woodpeckers just snake-bitten offensively since Sunday. Curveball on the outside corner. Baldwin tonight 0 for 3 with two strikeouts. The 1-1. Broken back ground ball. This one to second. It's picked up and lobbed to first by Lofton. And another 1-2-3 inning for Joey Mancini. Six up, six down out of the pen. We head to the seventh inning stretch. Kannapolis 4, Fayetteville nothing on the Woodpeckers Broadcast
Dance
Network.
Will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. All right, fans, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Get on your feet and help us sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Take, sing a little louder. I, so it's root. Packers, sing it loud. At the old, atta boy, Packers, atta boy.
There's a place you can go, I said, young man. When you're short on your dough, you can stay there, and I'm sure you will find me.
This Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 2, Chase Krogman.
Well, we saw Dury Carrasco, a converted shortstop, came in to pitch for the Woodpeckers earlier in the ballgame. And now how about another converted pit player? This is a former outfielder, Chase Krogman, taking the mound now as a left-handed reliever for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, who lead it 4-0, bottom seven. Woodpeckers hit with a pitch clock violation as Ricardo Ballo was late getting to the plate, and now he's down 0-2 against Krogman. Krogman appearing in his third game this season, 0-1 with an ERA of 36.00 over one inning. And here he misses in tight on Ballo. So Krogman trying to piece together a quiet seventh inning. He takes over for the dominant Connor McCullough. Six shutout innings, just three hits allowed, no walks, and seven strikeouts. Pitch in the dirt. It's 2-2 now. Ricardo tonight, 1-for-2. Ground out to first and a single up the middle. He'll bat from the right side for the first time this evening. 2-2. That is fouled back. Pitch, breaking ball that misses down in the dirt. 3-2, Krogman. I mentioned before, formerly an outfielder, drafted out of Olathe, Kansas in the 34th round back in 2019. Follow stays alive with a foul to the right. Taken out of Wentzville Liberty High School in Lake St. Louis, Missouri. As a hitter, batted 202 with 11 homers and 43 RBIs over three seasons with the organization. Inside, ball four. It's the first walk drawn tonight by the Woodpeckers. A leadoff walk that puts Ricardo Ballo on first and brings up John Garcia. So after McCullough did not issue any base on balls the first six innings, Probin comes on and walks the first batter he faces. Garcia 0 for 2, a strikeout and a ground out tonight, and gets a fastball on the high and outside corner there for strike one.
You know, last night I liked some of the at-bats the Woodpeckers put together against the bullpen. A couple of times late, they put two runners on. So you can get multiple runners on again, and then you're just looking for one big situational hit to change the complexion of this game, whether it's a gapper or you actually get a home run first of the series. Just one swing away. You got to tell yourself as a dugout from getting back into this game.
Woodpeckers going on five games without a home run. Been a while since there's been a power surge in this Fayetteville lineup. That comes inside and gets John Garcia on the elbow guard. And that'll put runners at first and second with nobody out. You know, Garcia is no stranger to getting hit by pitches this season. He's still atop the team in that stat category. Now that's now nine. Nine times he's been hit by a pitch this season in 20 games. Those are some Craig Biggio numbers. Garrett McGowan will bat. Mound visit here for Kannapolis. McGowan 0 for 2. I think it was Biggio that's the all-time leader in hit-by-pitches. I'll have to double-check that, but he's definitely up there.
That was before the day of, like, elbow guards and ankle guards and all that stuff, too. He's took a lot of bruises. But, yeah, you take him how you can get him right now for the Woodpeckers, whether it's these slow-rolling ground balls on broken bats, singles, or the walks and the hit-by-pitches. As he touched on Colin, you know, Krogman is experimenting with the pitching thing now for the first time in his pro career. And through the Woodpeckers, he try and take advantage of every chance he get right now.
Two on, none out. Garrett McGowan, the batter. Chase Krogman's first pitch, a fastball just outside. I was close. Craig Biggio second all time. Two behind Huey Jennings. 287 career hit by pitches. The most in MLB history.
What year did Huey Jennings play? That was
made his debut in 1891 for the Louisville Colonels.
I'm giving it to Biggio.
Called strike. And he played for a long time. 1891 his debut. Wrapped up his career in 1918 for the Detroit Tigers.
I wasn't even playing with the same baseball then. It was like a whole different baseball.
It's also a manager, player manager for the Tigers for 14 years. McGowan, line drive, up the middle, base hit. Rounding third and staying put is Ballo. Up to second, Garcia. A single for Garrett McGowan will bring the tying run to the plate. Base is loaded, no outs here in the seventh.
You know, some people might be saying, why don't they send Ballo there? And I'm a fan of holding it, just station by station right now. Guys are getting on base. This lineup is starting to find its stride here against the bullpen finally. And you got nobody out. And see if you can get a hit that brings home a couple. One run wasn't going to tie this game or put you in front. So now you wait for the big swing to bring in a couple of runs.
Did that swing come from Jackson Lofton? Still looking for his first home run of the season. Bases loaded, nobody out, 4-0 lead for Kannapolis. And Krogman in a world of trouble, letting the first three batters of the inning reach base. Misses up and away with a fastball. C- Connor McCullough surrendered 3 base runners over 6 innings. Chase Krogman has issued 3 base runners in 3 batters. High pop-up. This will be in foul territory. Heading over is Baldwin. He makes the catch, and big out number 1 for the Cannonballers. Keeps everyone where they are, and it'll bring up Rolando Espinosa. It's about the best case scenario outside of a strikeout or a double play ball. Nowhere for the runners to go. And now Rolando will get a crack. Krogman comes set. And Espinosa fooled badly on the breaking ball. Nothing and 1. This season, Rolando Espinosa has had 10 at-bats against left-handed pitching. He is 0 for 10 with 5 strikeouts. But here he lines one out to left field, but it's playable. Back there and making the catch is Weaver. Will bring in a run. Ballo tags and scores in Fayetteville. Breaks through in the run column. It's now 4-1 on the sacrifice fly from Espinosa. Just missed it, though. Could have been a little bit more had he barreled it up. It'll be first and second, 2 away in Leo's Danny Molina.
Yeah, he made an adjustment on the breaking ball. He got it again and wasn't early that time. Just didn't quite get it square on the barrel, and I think if you're Krogman, with the way this inning started, you'll trade that out with the run and try and get the final out here.
Leo Molina takes ball 1 down and in. Krogman to look at second. Decent lead for Garcia. No one holding him on, and Molina chases after one well below the knees. Espinosa registers his 4th RBI of the season. Fayetteville tonight 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position. A base hit here from Molina. Could very well bring in another run and cut the lead in half. One one, fouled straight into the screen. The Packers looking to avoid falling for the 4th consecutive time. One of 3 teams in the Carolina League currently on 3-game losing streaks, along with Myrtle Beach as well as Delmarva. 1-2 pitch, swung on and missed. Chase Krogman gets a big-time strikeout, and the side is retired. So Fayetteville loads the bases with nobody out. They do get a run in, but strand 2 on the bases. We've played 7 full from Segra Stadium. Kannapolis 4, Fayetteville 1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Camp. Kiss Cam.
You got to know, talk dirty, baby. And if you won't impress me, you can't be too flirty, mama. I know.
Kiss Cam.
Yeah, I wanna be your fantasy.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
Don't have to be rich to be my girl. Don't
Kiss Cam.
Singing.
Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Cannonballers, the designated hitter, number 30, Tim Elko.
Fayetteville gets on the board in the bottom of the seventh inning to make it 4-1 here in the top of the eighth. Joey Mancini, six up, six down so far, back on the mound, and Andrew Chapman back on the play-by-play.
All right, thanks, Colin. I think Fayetteville would have liked to get at least one more run in that bottom of the seventh, their best chance to score multiple runs and come from behind tonight. And now Tim Elko swings through a Mancini fastball. It's nothing and two. Looks like Kannapolis may go to the bullpen again in the eighth inning, but those guys continuing to stir out there. They do have a right-hander up and throwing. 0-2, and Elko chases outside. Tim Elko hasn't had much going for him tonight. 0-4, four strikeouts, and he's been chasing outside of the zone quite a bit. One thing the Woodpeckers have done a lot of tonight is tally the strikeout. That's their 12th as a staff. And Mancini out to a really good stretch tonight. He has set down seven in a row since coming in behind Dury Carrasco in the sixth inning. First pitch strike to Jacob Burke. And it's 0-1 on the Kannapolis cleanup hitter. Line kick, 0-1. Burke swings, foul tips it backwards. Jacob Burke started his college career at Southeastern Louisiana, and then he transferred to the University of Miami for his final year. He had a great season for the Hurricanes, batted .347, slugged .599. And his final college year led to an 11th round draft selection by the White Sox. 0-2 pitch down to the dirt, and that'll get to the backstop. Again, activated off the injured list today.
There's a couple of guys who probably saw each other in the ACC. Miami-Boston College matchup.
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe a college at bat or two against Mancini. The 1-2 pitch. Burke takes a changeup close, but just a bit inside, and it's two balls and two strikes. And not just a great baseball player in college. He didn't play college football, but Jacob Burke was a really good linebacker at University High School out in Louisiana. As the fastball sails high, goes to a full count. He was a middle linebacker, led his team in tackles three straight seasons, won a pair of state championships, and was a two-time All-State player in Louisiana. His dad, Monty, played football at Tulane. 3-2 pitch to Burke. He swings and pops it up out of play. So he's a physical player, physical athlete. If you're a linebacker leading your high school team in tackles three straight years, you like to find the contact. 3-2 payoff again, and Burke battling it at the plate. Won't go down. 94-mile-per-hour pitch, and he spoiled it off.
I wonder if any of his time at the U, if probably could have walked on to that football team if you're able to tackle that well.
Here comes the 3-ball, 2-strike pitch again to Burke. And he chops this one foul past his manager, Patrick Leland, and keeps the count full. So a great battle brewing between a couple of former ACC ball players. Jacob Burke will end up seeing a ninth pitch. And Mancini trying again. A swing and a foul ball. This will sail over the roof and out of play. Longest at bat Mancini's had to work so far. He had a really low pitch count. He had only thrown 13 pitches to record the first seven outs, or 23 make it. Now a slider gets Burke swinging and missing to the outside. Mancini wins the battle on the 10th pitch of the at-bat. And now he's set down eight straight with back-to-back strikeouts, and it brings up Bryce Willits.
The frustrating thing when you're on the mound full count and you got a guy fouling off a bunch of pitches, you might be a little reluctant to go outside of the zone because you don't want to lose him via walk, but Mancini did and it paid off.
First pitch in there to Bryce Willits for a strike, 0-1. After the 10-pitch strikeout, Mancini gets ahead 0-2 on Willits with a foul ball. Bryce Willits clubbing his fourth home run of the season back in the second inning. And he walked and scored in the fourth, so he's contributed to half the runs tonight for the Ballers. Here's the 0-2. Mancini draws a ground ball, first base side, and that'll get right of the chalk. A foul ball on Willits. Stays where it is, nothing and two. In the bottom of the eighth inning, Woodpeckers will have the top of their order up. Perez, Whitaker, and Cruz. Now 4-1 after they break up the shutout bid in the bottom of the seventh with the sac fly. The 0-2 pitch is called strike three. Fastball in the high outside corner. Joey Mancini strikes out the side in order in the eighth. And he is rolling tonight. Nine up, nine down for Mancini. Keeping this game where it is. The Woodpeckers offense trying to continue from a run in the seventh. They go to the eighth. 4-1. Ballers.
Damn. This Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 26, Pauly Milto.
Kannapolis turns to a new arm. A right-hander, Pauly Milto, takes over. He'll face the top three of the Woodpeckers order: Luis Perez, Tyler Whitaker, and Narbe Cruz. It is now 4-1. Sac fly in the seventh from Rolando Espinoza broke up, the Kannapolis shutout bid. Pauly Milto delivers a strike to Perez. It is 1-1. Milto has no record and an inflated ERA of 11.81. He's given up seven earned runs over five and a third. And this is his seventh appearance of the season out of the pen. The pitch pulled on a line. One hopper out to short. Sprinkle backs up on it. Fields at the fringe of the grass. Throws for him to first. And there's one gone. Solid contact for Luis Perez. He's put the ball in play three times tonight, but has nothing to show for it. 0-4. Woodpeckers down three. And down to their final five outs tonight. Tyler Whitaker, who's 1-for-3, stepping in.
A big couple of outs here in the eighth inning with Whitaker up, Cruz on deck. Someone's got to light the spark offensively.
First pitch to Whitaker upstairs, 1-0. Saw a little bit of Pauly Milto last year in the season series. He pitched in four games for Kannapolis, and he was pretty solid. He gave up just one earned run over seven and a third. Pitch is outside to Whitaker, and it's 2-0. 11 strikeouts, three walks over four Carolina League outings. He's 26 years old, one of the older guys in the league. 2-0. Whitaker swings, grounds it sharply up the middle, and that's into center field. Whitaker finds the middle of the diamond for a second time. He's 2-for-4. He just had a feeling with the way Whitaker hit the ball yesterday that one of these multi-hit games was coming. He just missed a home run back in the sixth, another fly ball that died on the warning track, but I feel like he's built up some good karma earlier in the week, and now it's paying off. So man on, Narbe Cruz at the plate. Tying run still on deck, and Ballo. First pitch to Cruz. He swings, lifts a line drive out of the left, but that'll hang up for Weaver. A couple of steps in, and he makes the catch of the shoulders. And one gone. Two gone now for the Woodpeckers, and Ricardo Ballo coming up.
The ball squared up, and unfortunately, just wrong part of the ballpark.
Ballo scored Cruz goes to 0 for 4. Ballo scored a run in the seventh. Walked and came in on the sack fly that made it 4-1. Whitaker off of first, and he's going to second. Fastball is down and inside. No throw down, and Whitaker swipes a bag. You could tell Whitaker wanted to go. He was kind of shuffling back and forth off of first and extending that lead and moving on first contact. Pauly Milta, a 23rd round pick, going back to the 2019 draft, final year of the 40-year draft. Now Whitaker going to third, pitches low. Pineda's throw up the line, not in time. Tyler Whitaker sprinting around the bases. Swipes second, swipes third.
No better way to make things happen than start running wild on the base paths. Whitaker putting himself in position where a base hit now just brings him in, and this will be a big run if Fayetteville can cash it in.
Whitaker was 2 for 3 on the stolen base department this year. Now he's doubled his season total in one trip. 4 on the year for Whitaker. Slider down low, got Ballo to chase, and it's 2-1. Ballo pulled a single into right field back in the fourth. It was one of just 3 hits against the starter, Connor McCullough. Swings at the 2-1, taps it foul. And they're granting Whitaker home plate. Did they call a balk? I believe they did. Milto did not come set. A balk brings home Whitaker. Those stolen bases put him in position to score the second run of the night. It's 4-2.
And on top of that, that strike that would have been called on the foul tip is null and void.
Right. So 2-1 count still on Ballo. Base is clear. And Milto's pitch misses up and in. 3 balls and no strikes on Ballo. If he can reach, it'll bring the tying run to the plate.
You talk about good karma. Whitaker rewarded for his aggression. Ends up getting a free pass home after the stolen bases.
Yeah, if you don't get aggressive, then you're hanging out on first or second. As Ballo fouls the pitch to the top of the net, and it is 3-2. Trying to get the tying run to the plate for the second straight inning. Fayetteville had the bases loaded. Nobody out in the seventh. Brought just one home. Milto comes to the belt, kicks, fires. Ballo swings and hits a high fly out of the right center field. Burke sprinting back on it, angling at the track, and that ball dies for out number 3. Ballo gave it a good ride, but it falls short, and the Woodpeckers down a couple, going to the ninth inning. They bring home Whitaker on the single, a pair of stolen bases, and a block. It's 4-2. Top 9 next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Tomorrow we're giving away Copa batting practice tops. Support our troops on Saturday with full stadium giveaway Black Ops caps. And on Sunday, give your mom the perfect gift for Mother's Day, the Woodpeckers mesh tote.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Joey Mancini.
Joey Mancini having a good night on the hill for the Woodpeckers. He's gone 9 up, 9 down, 3 perfect innings. He struck out the side in order in the 8th, and now he faces Luis Pineda. It is 4-2 Kannapolis, and a first pitch slider gets him to cut, miss, 0-1. Kannapolis trying to guarantee themselves a split of this series. And it set themselves up to try and win the series already tomorrow and hand the Peckers a fourth straight loss after they won 3 in a row on the road. Luis Pineda pops the pitch out of play, and it's nothing and two. Mancini in agreement with Garcia. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. He got him. 4 straight strikeouts for Joey Mancini. 10 up, 10 down on one of the best nights for the right-hander from Boston College all season.
And he had an 8 strikeout game in one of his early appearances back in April, and we're seeing more of the same here, although he's untouchable right now on the mound. Great stuff out of Joey, and even if the Woodpeckers can't come from behind, a big step forward for his development.
First pitch outside to right-handed hitter Drake Logan. Logan 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts. And the pitch. Fastball right on the outside edge, called strike one. 90-mile-per-hour fastball there for Mancini. Logan, one of two cannonballers to strike out on every at-bat. Tim Elko's had a tough night as well, 0 for 4, 4 strikeouts. Changeup missed in, and it's 2-1. Cabrera Weaver on deck. He'll get a chance in the inning. And here's the 2-1. It is outside. 3 balls and a strike. Woodpeckers pitching staff has now struck out 13. And Kannapolis without a run since the 4th. Offense been slowly chipping away, but still down 4-2. Sack fly and a balk have brought home runs in each of the last 2 innings. Foul ball out of play, 3-2 on Logan. Kannapolis got a run in the second, a run in the third, and 2 in the fourth to go up 4-0. And they've been holding on since. Payoff pitch. Logan looks at strike 3. 5 Ks in a row for Joey Mancini. 11 in a row retired. Lining them up, knocking them down. He placed it on the low outside corner, right on the border. Just a perfectly located fastball and one of his fastest of the night. 93 miles an hour for Mancini on that pitch. And a breaking ball starts out Cabrera Weaver 1-0.
Some of the best command we've seen out of any pitcher in this ballpark this year. I mean, just outstanding.
Cabrera Weaver's been on a couple of times today, once with an error, once with a bunt single. And he had a hit taken away in the 6th inning. A line drive out to right that was sinking quick, and Espinoza plucked it off the grass with a slide, made the catch. Next pitch will be number 50 for Mancini. Here's the wind kick and the offer. Swinging a fly ball back out to right, fairly deep. Espinoza tracking towards the line, circles around, makes the grab. And the inning is over. 4 perfect innings for Joey Mancini tonight. He daps up his catcher, walking off of the mound. 12 up, 12 down. He strikes out 6. The dominating outing. And one more chance for the Woodpeckers in the bottom of the ninth to level this game or win it. 4-2. Going home. Bottom 9 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Nationwide is a proud... Corona vibes bursting with tropical flavors. It's a match made in hard seltzer paradise. Introducing the Corona Hard Seltzer Tropical Pack. It's the flavors of the fine life.
This Cannonballers Pitching Change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 13, Billy Seidel. Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 20, John Garcia.
Bottom of the ninth inning, and the Woodpeckers will deal with the Carolina League saves leader, Billy Seidel. 5-6 opportunities this year, trying to close down this 4-2 game for the Ballers. When they're third in a row here on the road, and he starts out John Garcia with a slider. It's fouled off, 0-1. John Garcia, Garrett McGowan, Jackson Lofton, the 5, 6, and 7. Woodpeckers down 4-0 at one point, have scored a run in each of the last two innings. The pitch inside, and Garcia with a protection check swing. He went too far as he kind of bailed out of the right side. His barrel went with him, and on the appeal, he went too far, 0-2. Seidel is 2-1, 3.95 ERA in his 11th appearance. He is kind of the dedicated closer for this Kannapolis bullpen. 6 earned runs surrendered. He hasn't given up a home run. 7 walks and 16 strikeouts. Here comes the set and the 0-2 to Garcia. Swings and hits it out towards the mound off the third base side of the slope. Seidel comes off the mound, muscles a throw to first in time to get Garcia. Seidel fielded that ball awful slowly, and then he kind of tapped the mitt. But the ball exploded out of his hand. The second he released it, it was up that line in a blink. And a close play goes his way. One gone. Garrett McGowan, the new hitter. Seidel pitched 5 games last year for Carolina. Didn't allow a run over 5 total innings. And this is his 16th Carolina League appearance coming tonight. First pitch to McGowan for a strike on the low inside corner. Seidel is a former Duke Blue Devil and a 15th round draft pick by the White Sox last year. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. McGowan swings, hits a towering fly, slicing down the left field line. Weaver is over, gets into the corner, and that ball disappears. It's a foul ball. Just missed a home run.
He's got that opposite field power. Remember last year he had the walk-off double that ended up in the bullpens in that final home series.
So McGowan will head back to the plate in a 0-2 count. Asheville tonight trailing Rome 8-4 on the road. Miguel Uyola currently on the mound for the Tourists. Seidel sets with a new baseball in hand. The 0-2 inside and almost clipped McGowan. Sends him bailing out of the way. 1-2. Got a number of guys at the top of the order with multi-hit games today. Sandel 2-for-4. Jacob Melton 3-for-3. And Zach DiCenzo has gone to 2-for-3 in that game. But for the Tourists, they had Alex Santos get the start and give up 4 earned runs. We have time called right before the pitch comes in and a violation called on Billy Seidel. So instead of the pitch, it'll be 2-2 on McGowan. Waiting on deck, Jackson Lofton. Miguel Uyola's given up 4 earned runs today over an inning and 2/3 out of the bullpen. McGowan checks his swing and he's rung up anyways. A slider right at the bottom of the zone. And the Woodpeckers down to their final breath.
every pitcher that's come on in this series for Kannapolis has found a way to be effective. Have to tip your cap. They have shown in this front half of this series that they mean business.
Getting ready to hand Fayetteville a third straight loss at home and drop the Woodpeckers losing skid to 4. Lofton looks at a first pitch fastball down the middle at 92. Went from the second longest winning streak of the season of 3 games to one of the longer losing streaks if they lose a fourth straight tonight. The 0-2, Lofton cuts and misses, and the Woodpeckers are down to their final strike. Fayetteville lost 5 in a row between April 25th and the 29th. In danger of losing their fourth now. The 0-2 pitch. Lofton swings, line drive to third, but right to Baldwin. He backhands it up along the line, and the game is over. A 1-2-3 inning for Billy Seidel. He records his league-leading 6th save of the year. And Kannapolis is guaranteed a split, taking their third straight here at Segra Stadium. 4-2 the final tonight. Woodpeckers chipped away in the 7th and the 8th, but couldn't come all the way back. And they've gone 0-3 this week at home and dropped to a season-worst 5 games back of 500 at 12-17. Certainly a great night out of the bullpen for Joey Mancini with 4 perfect innings. We'll break down all of that in a little bit more and send you on your way when we return for the postgame show right here at Segra Stadium. Stay tuned. Kannapolis wins tonight 4-2.
Everybody looking at me, glancing a kid, wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Sick a cigar right from Cuba Cuba, I just bite it. It's for the look, I don't light it. Little way to AMA on the hand, stay off play. You give it up, jiggy, make it feel like foreplay. Yo, my cardio is infinite. Ha ha, Big Willie style's all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. With it. What? You on the ball with your kid? Watch your step, you might fall trying to do what I did. Mama, mama, I'ma come close side in the middle of the club with the rubber dub. No love for the haters mad cause I got floor seats at the Lakers. See me on the 50-yard line with the Raiders. Met Ali, he told me I'm the greatest. I got the fever for the flavor of a crowd pleaser. DJ play another from the Prince of this, your highness. Only bad chicks riding my whip. South to the west, to the east, to the north. Bump my hips and watch them go off, but go off, but yes, yes, sure. You don't stop in the winter order.
Summertime.
I mix it high, getting jiggy with them. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. 850 IS, if you need a lift. Who's the kid in the drop? Who else will slip? Living that life, some consider a myth. Rock from South Street to 125th. Women used to tease me, give it to me now, nice and easy. Since I moved up like Georgia Wheezy. Cream to the maximum, I'll be asking them. Would you like to bounce with your brother that's platinum? Never see Will attacking them. Rather play ball with Shaq and them. Flatten them, like getting. Thought I took a spell, but I didn't. Trust the lady of my life, she hitting. Hit her with a drop top. With the ribbon, crib for my mom on the outskirts of Philly. You trying to flex on me? Don't be silly. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back up to the broadcast booth, and thanks again for being a part of our Thirsty Thursday ball game tonight. The Kannapolis Cannonballers end up winning a third in a row here on the road at Segra Stadium, and they do it tonight by a 4-2 final. But, Colin, they did it in a sense the same way they have the previous two nights, and that's with some fantastic starting pitching. Connor McCullough, the reigning Carolina League Pitcher of the Week, coming off of 6 scoreless his last time out, did it again tonight. 6 scoreless innings, 3 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts, just like he did last time around. You like the Woodpeckers' ability to chip away a little bit against the bullpen once he left the game. Kind of like last night, they got multiple runners on. They were able to bring home a couple. But the Carolina League saves leader, Billy Seidel, locks it down with his 6th of the year. Joey Mancini was fantastic for the Woodpeckers tonight. Just nails out of the bullpen with 4 perfect innings. So you had some positives there down the stretch, but ultimately, again, the Woodpeckers find themselves trailing and weren't able to come all the way back.
Yeah, I think looking back, the Woodpeckers are going to lament that seventh inning where they were only able to get one run, bases loaded, nobody out, and all they could get was that sacrifice fly from Rolando Espinosa to bring him in. Following inning, though, was Tyler Whitaker making it happen himself, had that single with two outs, stole second, stole third, and came home on a balk. So great to see him really take advantage of that hit. He had two hits tonight, ball starting to find the outfield grass now instead of the mitts of the defense, what we saw the day before. So he made the most of his time on the base paths, which was great to see. Ultimately, though, just ran out of time at the end. And, Seidel's been outstanding this year, six saves now for the Kannapolis closer. They got a great start out of Connor McCullough, went six strong innings. The starters have just been the story of this series for the Cannonballers. They have not conceded a single run. And as long as that changes, obviously the Cannonballers are going to keep on winning. So if you're Fayetteville, all you can do really is turn the page, go into the weekend, and try to pull even in this series.
Yeah, the Cannonballers, like you mentioned, Colin, they've gotten combined 17 scoreless innings out of their starters in this series. So they've been locking down the Fayetteville order first couple of times through. Woodpeckers will try and bounce back tomorrow. Best they can hope for is a split now if they can win on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow they turn to right-hander Jose Gaddez. He's no record, 13.50 ERA, but has just a couple of innings so far with the Woodpeckers. Joined them in Salem on the road trip last week, and now he'll get his first start in the Carolina League tomorrow. He'll be tandem with one of the Woodpeckers' top pitching prospects in Andrew Taylor, expected to go later in the night. Right-hander Tanner McDougal is on the mound for the Cannonballers in that one, 0-1 with a 3.86 ERA. First pitch coming up at 7:05 tomorrow. Colin and I will be on the air with you at 6:55, and you can tune in the broadcast, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, if you're not at the ballpark on online radio or by subscribing to Bally Live and MILB.TV. A loss tonight for the Woodpeckers, that drops them to 12-17 on the year. Kannapolis now to 16-12. And Fayetteville will look to bounce back and the four-game skid tomorrow in Game 4 of the series. Thanks again for being with us tonight, everybody, on our Thirsty Thursday ball game. We do hope to see you out at the ballpark tomorrow and this weekend. Until then, drive home safely, and good night from the booth. I got my head out the sunroof. I'm blasting my favorite tunes. I only got one thing on my mind. You got me stuck on the thought of you. You're making me feel brand new. You're more than a sunshine.
Platinum and gold eyes, dancing, catch your eye, you'll be mesmerized. Oh, find the